Welcome, everyone, to Christ's Blessing on this day, May the 15th, 2016. This is a day, I wondered what to talk about. We've had so many special occasions lately. We've had the beginning of spring, we've had Mother's Day, and we've just had so many special Easter, of course, and Palm Sunday, and so many themes that we had to focus our blessing on. And I was thinking about that I wanted something today, and I looked outside, and today where we are, it's a really quite a lovely rainy day. Some rainy days are so dark, and maybe they're windy and raining so hard, it's hard to say they're lovely. But this has been one of those lovely ones that you could tell nature is just singing. It's just like saying, yes, give me a drink. And the birds are huddling under the trees and talking to each other. And it just came to mind, what I want to talk about today is life. Life, that's really what the blessing is all about anyway. That's what we're here to celebrate on every call. That's what Yeshua came to offer us on all of our special days, whether it's a feast day, a holy day, a special day, a birthday. Every day is a celebration of life. And that's really, really what I would like us to focus on today for our special interests, whatever they are. I know it will have to do with life, a better life, a better quality of life, healing, support, nourishment, sharing, loving. It's all about life. So who would like to open up comments from the community? Desmond made his comment, and yes, Desmond, what you're talking about is life. The tomatoes and the zucchini and your garden and how this is becoming one of the best years of your life related to the land. And you were so in tune that you thought about that. Anyone else who wants to ask for a blessing or make a comment about their life or about life in general, I'd love to hear from you. We welcome our participation from our community. And if I don't hear from someone real soon, I'll just get started, but that doesn't mean you can't sign on. The way you sign on is *6, then follow the prompt and press 1. That will take you into the call, and I will look for you and open your line. Right now, our lines are muted so that we can have a good recording. That's why I have to open the line for you. And I think Jesse is on the line. Hi, Jesse.
Yes. Glenda, I just wanted to say that today is the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended. And it's life, too. I mean, what could be more about life than the Spirit?
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And thank you for reminding all of us of that. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate, and actually, it's right on target to what I wanted to talk about today. So we'll just hold that thought, and then we'll see if anyone else has something to say. But thank you, Jesse, for bringing that up. Actually, the coming of the Holy Spirit was the day that the church was created.
Yes.
Most people don't realize this.
Yeah,
most,
it is birthday.
It is the church's birthday. It is.
Yes.
And most people don't realize this. They think that Jesus or Yeshua, in his touring of the earth and his many sermons and the calling of the apostles and the teaching of the apostles, was actually the foundation for building a church. But actually, It was the foundation, but he wasn't building a church. What he was teaching was called, and it's actually called this in the scripture, the way. He was teaching people about the way back to God, the way to their own higher self, the way to their own redemption, the way to their own salvation, the way to their own fulfillment, and the way to their everyday survival, the way to know themselves in the best possible way. In other words, he was basically being a teacher of God's ways to humanity. And he couldn't have cared less about doctrine, because doctrine was just getting in the way of the way. Not to make a pun there, but it was getting in the way of the way. There were lots of conflicting doctrines. We had the traditional Jewish doctrine. We had the many different sects of Judaism. And everybody seemed to have their own particular belief about how we should worship or celebrate God. And to most of the people in those days, it was all about following the law and following protocol and following the celebration and the ceremonies. And they had lost connection with the fact that we celebrate God, our Creator, by joining with God in a state of love. And we accelerate that union by loving one another. And so that's why he left us with only two commandments: to love God with all our heart and others as ourselves. Because he knew that what we needed to have was a closer connection in spirit and greater fullness of life. When he came to me and asked me to paint his portrait, I was a little bit hesitant. Well, I was more than a little bit. Anyone who's read Love Without End knows that I was rather resistive and even a little bit rebellious. Because so many paintings have been, wonderful paintings have already been made of him, and I thought, why in the world does he need another painting? He's not driven by his ego or his identity. He couldn't care less about his appearance because he comes to us in spirit. Why? Why does he want this? Finally, when I was in the process of painting it, I mustered up the courage to ask him, why am I doing this? And he said, just as a reminder to everyone that I'm here with them. And it was never about things I taught. It was about me being with them. It was about them being with me. It was about establishing a connection. It was about heart-to-heart contact, eye contact, soul contact, life contact, being united with one another. I just wanted to say to everyone again, remember me, I'm here. Remember me, I'm here for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe. Just come to me. Hold my hand. Look me in the eye. Know that I'm here with you. He said, that's all I wanted to communicate. And I wanted to do it in a way that the contemporary world could relate to. Because so many of the paintings of me are historical. So many of them just illustrate stories from the Bible. I just wanted to be able to say, I love you. And to say, I love you with eye contact. And have it be recognizable and meaningful as just that. Because he said there's nothing more important to say to anyone than just, I love you. And that was how he wanted to spend the whole of his time on earth, just saying to everyone, I love you. He knew later on the tenets of religion would be built by those who cared about those kinds of things. He just wanted to express and devote his love. And then, after he ascended into pure spirit, he was missed, and the vacuum of his presence was filled by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And those who were gathered to celebrate their love for him were filled with that Spirit so profoundly that they could speak all the languages of mankind, that they knew their mission in life was to carry his messages to the world. And so it was on that day that the church was founded. And that's why Spiritus is the Church of the Holy Spirit. And we like to keep it that way to remind ourselves that it is by Spirit we're united. It's by love that we're united in the whole body of Christ. And that's what we come here to celebrate on Sunday, in a special way, every Sunday, to celebrate life. His life, our life combined. The life of our beautiful earth. The life that God has given us. And I see that Susan is on the call. And Susan, would you like to make a comment or ask for a blessing?
Oh, hi, Glenda. You know, it's interesting what you were saying. I started out by, you know, saying I want to tell you that, I'm using your oils. And when I was using Om, I intuitively felt, put it on my throat. And as I'm saying Om, Om, I started saying home, home, home. I said, oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
You know, I said it was from Om, it went to home. And then I was thinking about your painting. You know, I go into churches because we have our meetings in churches for like 43 years. And there isn't a picture of Jesus that I resonated with ever until you painted what you did. And it just stirred up so much. It actually, you know, talk about a reminder. I kind of feel that once I really started meditating with that picture from, you know, from your first book, I said, God, I know him. It's weird. I was there, and I never would have looked at any other picture and felt that way, which is very interesting, ever. So it's funny when you ask him why he painted it, and you said a reminder. What it did was it resonated. It just reminded me that there's this incredible connection that I didn't even know existed, especially growing up as a Jewish girl. But then that whole thing changed that, you know, once I really got into my self-exploration and I understood the masters, I didn't buy into the whatever I was conditioned, you know, in the womb of by the way, you're Jewish this time and we don't accept Jesus Christ. You know, I threw that out, you know, I did. But I never really resonated until your picture. It opened up so much of an awareness that there was a connection here from 2,000 years ago. And I never would have even, and I do extensive meditation and have for 40 years, never would have done that were it not for that. And it's interesting you talk about asking him why he painted it.
Well, that is a good question, isn't it? Considering all the many thousands of paintings that have been done of him. But almost all of them were done to illustrate a message or a story, which is valuable. And actually, throughout most of the history of the church, literally most of it, until the last maybe 500 years, people were illiterate, except for pictures. They wouldn't have been able to know anything about the stories. So those sculptures and drawings and paintings and prints, whatever they were, or stained glass, or even pottery with or carvings in the walls, all of them were so important to tell the story. But this came for a different purpose. And what I have noticed, is that people of all races and all religious backgrounds relate to it in the same way you do, Susan. And they don't mind that he's not black or Chinese or Indian, or they don't mind, because it's not about the skin color. It's about the eye contact. It's about the purpose behind the painting, and people feel it. They get it. They get that feeling. And any of you who ever have an opportunity, if ever, to travel to Fort Worth, Texas, and visit the chapel where the original painting lives, don't pass it up. It's like a trip to Lourdes. Really, honestly, I promise you, there is energy in that painting that is radiant. And for many people, he steps outside the painting, and he's just there with them. It's more than three-dimensional. It's almost, it is holographic, actually. It is literally holographic. And don't ask me how I did it, because I didn't. I just painted what he showed me to paint. And that's the way it came out. It's a miraculous work of art that couldn't even be destroyed. It just healed itself. But that's because it was created by spirit and by light. This is what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the light. He spoke the truth. He is the way. He is literally the light of creation. And he's life. And he gives all these things to us in the blessing. What will happen about it, we don't know, because it's larger than we are. We don't know what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will find to do for us, to bless for us, to heal for us, to unite for us, to find our next best friend, our next best business opportunity, the healing we need. We don't know. We may think we know some of it, but the Holy Spirit literally searches out our whole being, because we are composed of the very energy of truth, light, love, and spirit, condensed through the lens of God into the image of who we are uniquely. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because also I want to tell you about the new webinar that is now in progress of being prepared. It's available online, and I want to encourage any of you who have had profound receivership in the blessing, whether you're a blessing giver or a blessing receiver, or if you're just curious about how the light of God becomes the physical protoplasm of human life, this webinar is for you. We are literally created from the essence of God. Drop down just a little bit into a unique frequency of spirit given for humanity. Drop down just a little bit into the soul level of all humanity, where we are all one. We are all one family. Then drop down just a little bit to where we each take on our unique life as a soul, an eternal soul who lives forever inside the united soul of all. Then drop down just a little bit. We take on the personality that has been built up through our many, many experiences of living, combined with our purposes in living, combined with the abilities that God has given us but most of all, with the signatory vibration of our love that makes each one of us unique. That love applied to human DNA results in the conception, the generation of your life, and the creation of your life for everything you shall do for your whole experience on this earth and then beyond. And I say and beyond because it's something we're going to talk about in this webinar that very few people understand. I mentioned it last week. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's about how essential it is for the soul to actually incarnate in a physical body in order to be completed, that your soul may be forever unique and fulfilled. The whole purpose of your life is the fulfillment of your soul. Everything else is just an experience, an adventure, or a contribution that you make from your love, from your resources, from your ability. But the purpose of your life is the fulfillment of your soul. When you understand that purpose fully, it's as if you become the magnet that draws in the light of the soul into your love through all of your experiences, good, bad, and boring, into your life, your activities, all that you do, everyone you love, everyone you care about, into the transformation of life simply because you dared to be here. You will find out how courageous you are that you dared to be here, that you brought your love, that you left the immortal palace of your soul to become momentarily mortal in order to enter a cocoon, much the way a caterpillar will enter a cocoon and dwell there, not knowing why it's there. Can you imagine, just imagine for a moment the simple blindness of a little caterpillar inside a cocoon, sometimes seeing filtered light coming through the walls of the little leaf and sinews that it built around it, but wondering, why am I here? What am I doing? Why do I feel so trapped and so hemmed in? And why can't I do anything that I want to do? And what's happening to me? What are all these changes I'm going through that I don't understand? And I think I'm growing, but I don't know what it's all about. Just be quiet for a moment and be that little caterpillar. Have compassion in your heart. Just be in your heart and be that little caterpillar. Thinking, wondering, asking, fretting even, fearing maybe. I couldn't even do anything for myself. If a wind blew up, what if something happened? What if a rainstorm blew me away? I wouldn't know what to do. Just be that little caterpillar in all the elements inside the cocoon. Thunderstorm, rain, wind, nighttime, daytime, not understanding why it's dark, now why it's light, why it's cooler now, why it's warm and so hot then. And then all of a sudden, one day, the shell of the cocoon begins to be a little thinner, just a little bit thinner. It starts to crack, and the little caterpillar notices that all of a sudden, it has features on its body that it didn't have before. And it wants to stretch a little bit. It wants to stretch and it wants to move. And all of a sudden, out it pops. And it's suddenly surprised. There it is on the edge of a limb. And it doesn't even know what to do. It's just clinging on the edge of a limb, looking at amazement at the world around it and saying, wow, how in the world could this have ever happened? What just happened to me? What just happened? Well, you see, my dear friends, my beloved soulmates, and I say that in the real meaning of the word, in the highest community where we share one soul. This is happening for you right now. This is happening. And it's time we really, really talked about it. Yeshua talked about this in the last chapter of Love Without End, the Beloved, where he said, it is your love that will alter your DNA. And we're finding out from the most credible and reliable scientific sources that our DNA is changing right now. Our new babies are different. And even we, as advanced as we might be in our life, we're starting to show up looking different on some of the most sensitive scientific tests where DNA is being studied under the highest form of electron microscopes where every little molecule is being examined. And we're being told about things we can do to strengthen this process. And so here's what I want to do is to bring together for all of you the resources of medicine, nutrition, biology, revelation, everything Yeshua taught in all of the books, in everything the saints have prayed for 2,000 years. The transformations they have lived for. I want to bring all of that together for you so that you can be the recipient ready to be right inside that little cracking cocoon where you know something is happening and you don't know what it is. You don't know how to deal with it, but it's oh so different. It feels oh so different from anything you have ever felt before. This understanding needs to be provided. And I really look at this year as the most important year of our Christ blessing work. Some of you already know from announcements I've made in the past that I've been working on a book. The book is called Blessings, the Spirit of Love. It is the Spirit of Love moving through us. And I've just completed the 5 introductory chapters, which will then be followed by 70 of what the blessing givers and I consider to be some of the most important lessons that have been given on Sunday afternoon. This book will be published this summer, and it will change the world. We will be having a blessing conference toward the end of the summer. I want you to think about joining us at the blessing conference live. It will be here in Corpus Christi. I had hoped maybe to travel, but the work on the book has kept me really very much pinned to my desk in my office. And other projects that we have been working on for Spiritus Church to expand our work globally have involved so much dedication from me, so much, so many hours of love and service that it looks like my best use of time is to be here and offer the blessing seminar here again, once more in Corpus Christi. After that, I probably will travel. And also, blessing givers, think about, I want you to think about the possibility of becoming a blessing teacher, because we're going to be offering a blessing teachers webinar in probably a month. Just as soon as I get a little bit more organized on the book and a little bit more organized in our calendar for our blessing, our main blessing seminar. So this is going to be the seminal year for Christ's blessing. This is the year in which a special transformation of humanity is going to happen. And it's not just what I get from Yeshua. It's also what I'm hearing from leaders and teachers and spiritual facilitators all over the world, from so many different practices, spiritual practices, holistic practices, medical practices. This is the news that's coming to us, that there will be a seminal change this year, and we are a very important part of it. So now, we would like to surrender today to a blessing, and no one has asked for a particular blessing for their loved ones today, but I want to ask for a particular blessing for someone I know and love very much. It's the father of one of our blessing givers who is suffering from a very critical state of illness and pneumonia. And so we want to ask special blessings for him. He's in China. And we send our love, our heart, and the love of Christ to him for his healing and restoration and his transformation. And all good things that shall come from love. Now, all of us, let us be in our heart, be in that comfortable place in your chair where you just surrender to everything, knowing that God knows even more than you what you need. You will have your time to pray. And it's important that you ask, because in asking, you set yourself up in a very special way to receive. I will open with my prayer to Yeshua, and then we will offer the blessing as you pray your special prayer. Let us all begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you have been with us through the ages, caring for us, loving us, nudging us, leading us, instructing us, giving us inspiration, confirming our enlightenment when we have it, encouraging us on to greater achievement, greater realizations, acknowledging and rewarding our love of one another, giving us greater ability that we may move forward, the one soul of humanity, that we may contribute our measure of love into the mixture of this beautiful tapestry of life that God has created and will fulfill. We thank you for being with us now, for being with our loved ones, for healing us and offering us our daily food, our daily blessing, our daily reward. our comfort, and to soothe us and repair us from our grief, to help us to enjoy our love and give it to others. In all these things, we ask in your most holy name for the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God our Father. Amen. Amen. Your blessing has been offered. It has been given. Now it's for you to complete the receiving. So what I would like you to do is to go and rest. Be completely quiet and don't even think for at least 7 minutes. Just be one with God. Be in your own state of love and receivership. And receive unto yourself the Holy Spirit and all the blessings that have been given on this day. God loves you, and I love you too. I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.